This is Plantarama, a weekly look at what's happening in the world of horticulture from Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman. Both termites and ants are able to swarm and may have wings during part of their lives. Since these insects are close to the same size, K-State horticultural entomologist Raymond Cloyd says people often misidentify flying ants as termites. Raymond, we're not seeing a lot of activity just yet, but there are some things that maybe we should be on the lookout for.
Jeff, what we're seeing now in this early spring is reproductive or swarming reproductive ants and termites. And people get really concerned. They see these winged termites or ants, and they start thinking, oh my gosh, am I having an infestation? Let's step backwards. Well, that's just a natural evolutionary process. So most of them will die anyway. But what's going to happen is they're going to fly. The queen will mate with the males, find a place to establish a nest, and then starts the colonies for the next generation, okay, or this coming generation. So ants, they all have wings, but it's really important to distinguish them morphologically, how they differ overall. And ants have elbowed antenna, and they have a narrow constriction between the thorax and the abdomen, which is the second and third portions of the body, and the forewings are longer than the hind wings. Termites do not have elbowed antenna, or we call them geniculate antenna. Their bodies are broad all the way through. There's no constriction, and the wings are the forewings and the hind wings are the same size. So why is it important to understand? Well, it's because ants will be less of a problem than termites. So if it is termites, then you need to be aware of that. But remember, a high percentage of those individuals are going to die anyway. That's why there's so many of them. If you do capture some or have any inquiries, talk to our office at Kansas State University Department of Entomology. Call us up, and we'll do the best we can to identify what you're dealing with. Yes.
We get concerned about termites because we hear about the large amount of damage they can cause.
Yes. If they do get established, termites, of course, feed on wood. They can break down the cellulose components because they have the enzymes in their gut. But, that's where if you do collect some, send them in for identification. Because if it's ants, not so much of a big worry. But if it's termites, yeah, you might want to get them identified and start thinking about being on the lookout for them for the coming year.
In terms of other insects that we might see, what else might be an early arrival?
Okay, one of our earliest herbivores or pests is the eastern tent caterpillar. It's a caterpillar that we see feeding. Well, they create these webs, nest webs, in the crotches of trees in the Rosaceae family, pear, apple, crab apple, cherry, those types. And when the leaves come out, they'll feed on it. And that has a really direct impact because when you remove the new leaves that come out, the plants can't photosynthesize, and that reduces their ability to manufacture food. So if you do see those nests, take a rake or high-pressure water spray and just break them apart and let the birds eat the caterpillars at this point. It's hard to get them with insecticides because when they're in the nest, that protects them in the nest. And so it'd be better to disrupt that nest in the crotches and allow the birds to eat the caterpillars, which would probably be more effective than an insecticide application.
And is this something that we see across Kansas, or is this more confined to certain areas?
Wherever pears, apples, and cherries, crab apples are grown, I don't think it's probably in western Kansas less of a problem than it would be in eastern Kansas, mainly because of the rainfall and the tree species or types that are grown here. But yeah, it's not across the board, but it's probably localized or regionalized.
We're kind of moving into that season where we start doing some lawn work. We often hear about grubs. Is that something that will come along later?
It will, not now, but late spring, early summer, we get the possibility of mast chafer, May June beetle, Japanese beetle larva. In my plots at Rocky Ford, I start scouting for those sometime in about June. But you have to understand the treatment for those is going to be about 4 to 8 weeks before the grubs emerge from the eggs, and that application could be made sometime in May. And there's an extension publication we have available on that, Jeff, regarding the management of white grubs, and that provides information about timing of those insecticide applications. If you have a history of grub damage in a turf grass, you might want to obtain that publication either online or through the bookstore or through your extension office.
Yeah, the Department of Entomology really has publications on all of the things that we talk about week in and week out.
Yeah, we're getting close, Jeff. We're trying to build up that portfolio so people have access to this information for the various pests we have in horticulture cropping systems.
That's K-State horticultural entomologist Raymond Cloyd. For more information, contact your local extension office. Plantarama is produced by K-State Research and Extension. This is the K-State Radio Network.